Good morning, everybody. Am I coming through okay? Okay. Well, what did you study about last week? And you're walking in those things, right? You're walking. That's what you learned about last week as far as cleansing streaks go. This week we're going to be looking at committing everything to God. So if you're walking in the Spirit, committing everything to God should be a no-brainer. Is that a right thing?
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Committing everything to God. Freedom comes from knowing the truth, and that the truth is found where? In God's Word. In the Word of God is where the truth is found. The Bible contains everything you need to grow in your walk with the Lord. And as you walk with in the Spirit, staying in step with His plan and His purposes by submitting to His guidance, you can enjoy close fellowship with God. Amen?
Amen?
So how was it this week for you? Did you get that accomplished? We are human also, but God's Spirit lives within us to give us the ability to have the victory and have the submission over it. Submission is an integral part of a true disciple. Every day of choices. Let's see, is there a sign around here? Where's one? Oh, trusting is a choice you make. Trusting is a choice you make. In this high-tech society, I brought something a little bit more low-tech, paper and a marker. So, how do you do at making that choice every day? Trusting. So today we're going to be looking at this session here is to help us understand how committed God is to you. Okay? How God is committed to you. But then, in doing so, finding the strength and peace you need to commit everything you have and are to Him. And you've studied your lessons. You've had that probably to look at. But what does it mean to commit everything to God? Let's look at the verse from Proverbs 3:5. You don't need to turn to it, hopefully. You probably know it. It starts with trust. Help me with it. Trust in the Lord all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. And he shall direct thy paths. Forgot that part. And he shall direct, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Maybe I didn't say it right. Let's say it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And that's a path that has an S on the end. Not just one, but it's all of them. When you think about learning to walk in complete dedication to the Father while loving every minute of it, do we really love walking with God? Or sometimes do we get that earthly view and we forget that uplook view and living in the victory that He gives us? Christianity can be condensed into four words: admit, submit, commit, and transmit. Samuel Wilberforce has said that. And we know, and I'm sure many of you know, the story of Wilberforce and the influence he had as an anti-slavery advocate many years ago in his work in Britain. So what does it mean to be committed to everything to God? Why should we learn to commit everything to God? And how do we learn to commit everything to God? The thing is, God has promised God has made a real and honest commitment to you. He values you, and He longs to see you and me blessed and fulfilled. So, what kind of commitment, and this is interactive, this isn't going to be just me talking the whole time, but what kind of commitment is God expecting from you, His child? It's around here someplace. What in life, what kind of commitment is God expecting from you as His child? What is He expecting? Trust? What else? Obedience? Anything else? Commitment. Yes, commitment. Wow, that's a big one. That's one of them, one of those things. And up here we have trust, leaning. These are things that are important to us. Just take some time to close your eyes and think about that for a minute or two. Close your eyes now, and what kind of commitment is God expecting from you as His child? That's because close your eyes and think about that as the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and our minds of what kind of commitment is expected of a child of God. Okay, what would be your bigger commitment right now that you might think about doing? What kind of commitment are you thinking would be something as you do right now? You know, Phillips Brooks has said, it doesn't take great men to do great things. It only takes consecrated men and women to do what God would have them to do. You can turn to Mark 12:30. Somebody read that for us. And if you do read, please grab a microphone.
And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment.
Notice the reoccurring word in that verse. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Let's just put that verse before us in light of our past week. What are the things that our heart was thinking about? What about our soul? What about our mind? What was our mind thinking of? What was going through our mind? Just as I saw that dump truck go by our place the other day, and you were running that thing up through Hopeland there, and I, you know, what are you thinking of? What's your mind thinking of when you're going through? When you're driving during the week, when you're working at your stand down in Philly, taking care of people buying produce, what's going through your mind when you're walking through the chicken and pig houses and driving the oil truck and whatever? What are the things that are going through our mind? What are we allowing to go through our minds? What about your strength? What about your strength? This is the first commandment. The word all, commitment. We've been hearing about this. I think we've heard about this quite a bit. We know about commitment because the chicken and the pig were walking down the road and they saw ham and eggs served here, help wanted. The chicken said to the pig, let's go in and offer our services. You know the story. It's easier for you to say, the pig says to the chicken. The chicken proposed making contribution to the meal, but the pig realized it was a total commitment on his part. What is commitment on your part and my part? Does God want us to just contribute? Or does he want us to be fully committed? Does he want us to be fully committed? What do you think? How does that go in your life? Up and down. Well, Ralph was in the hospital the other night, Wednesday night, and I was watching his heartbeat. And some of his heartbeat was really wild. He was up to 143. And that thing was going, yeah. So how do we, you know, the doctors wanted to see that a more even flow. How do we take care of that? What helps us to conquer that? We must wholeheartedly commit our life. Commitment is not about programs, it's about a person. Commitment is not about programs, it's about a person. That person is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the person that we're talking about in our lives. Your commitment to a loving God, the key is ongoing spiritual growth. How about when we have a little baby? Little baby is born, and that baby is growing. But if that baby doesn't grow, what do? We check out, take it to the doctor, get his opinion. Why aren't they meeting the growth standards? What's going on? Emily right now is probably going to the doctor, and they're checking things out and seeing how the progress is going in that little one inside of her right now, growing and coming to full maturity for time to move on to the next phase of its life. And they check it out to see if the growth. What about in your spiritual life this morning and in my spiritual life? Am I meeting benchmarks along the way? Is there growth taking place? Or is it going up and sometimes it's going down? Where are we going with it? What's taking place? Moving along here, it's anonymous saying, the religion of Jesus begins with the verb follow and ends with the word go. Follow, and then go and tell. Follow Jesus, then go tell. How did that happen in your life this past week? How did that happen? You're following Jesus now. How has it been this week to go and tell? Were you telling the good news? Were you talking to somebody about the kingdom work? What's taking place? What is it in your life that gives you encouragement? It gives you the strength to face each and every new day. Moving on, in how and what you're committing to God, what keeps you from committing your entire life to God? Is that around here? I don't know if I have that one. What keeps you from committing your life to God? How about things? How about others? And how about yourself? As we learn to walk in the Spirit, you've probably discovered areas of your life that are difficult to commit to Him. Or as somebody has said already, that when you become a Christian, God wants to be in your whole life. But sometimes we tend to want to say, God, you can come into my life. I want to live for you. You can go in this room and this room and this room and that room, but no, that one there, that's off limits to you. You don't go in there. I don't want you in that part of my life. that isn't what God wants. And you know, we serve an omnipotent God, an omniscient God. And that means that he knows everything at all times, at all places, correct? What are we hiding? We're hiding nothing. We are hiding nothing from him. He knows everything that's going on. How long has it been since you let God have you? I mean, really have you? How long since you gave him a portion of your undiluted, uninterpreted time listening to his voice? Apparently Jesus did. He made a deliberate effort to spend time with God. Max Lucado said that. Now, just think for a little bit about how much time this past week you have spent in his presence. Have you taken time? Have I taken time to listen? Or I think sometimes you remember back to that one YouTube clip that we saw from the skit guys. We come to God and we're telling him, and then what we want him to do is take the ink pad and the rubber stamp and hit that ink and then come over and, yeah, that's real good. Do that. That's great. Most of the times, that's the way we want it done. We don't go and ask. We don't go and ask him what we want done. Because things and others and yourself can be obstacles. What distractions are facing you? What distractions are facing you in your life right now? Anybody want to share anything? It's a little bit personal probably, but think about it. What distractions are hindering you? What obstacles are getting in your way? On Friday, I needed to go north of Allentown to repair a gazebo. And I was going up through, and I saw up ahead a detour sign. Oh, man, now where am I going to go? Well, I have my GPS along, but I thought, oh, a detour. I'm going to have to go a different way than I was planning to go. But the detour was there because the bridge was out. So what do? You change your ways. You have to go a different direction. And that's what happens in our lives, friends. We need to turn around and make a correction and go a different way. And that different way is hopefully because of our commitment to Jesus Christ. What are the things that we strive for? More stuff? Better stuff? Bigger stuff? Do I get an amen from this side here? My wife would say I have too much stuff. And quest for material things. They can allow the desire for things to distract our commitment to the Lord. Jesus gave an answer to the problem. Matthew 6:25. Let's turn to that. Matthew 6:25. Or you can find it in your book on 1:10. Therefore, I say to you, I'm sorry, we'll slow up here. Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? I'm sure we heard these verses before already. But it says, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. And it says, is not your life more than food and your body more than clothing? But you know, sometimes that food gets in my way. What about our clothing? We got to buy the latest, greatest clothing. We got to make sure that we're up to date. But let's look at the birds. They neither sow or reap, but their Heavenly Father feeds them. Consider the lilies. Consider the flowers. The flowers we have here. How they grow. To think how they come from that bulb and they grow. And my dad always liked those beautiful, what was the name of that flower? Big blooms. I can't think of a name right now. Huh? Amaryllis. He just took so great care of his amaryllis and made sure they were in at the right time and stuff. You know, in our lives, we need to take care of our lives. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither spin. Solomon, think of Solomon, who he was. In all his glory, was not arrayed like these. So if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is gone, how much more is he concerned about you? Oh, me of little faith. Oh, me of little faith. Do not worry. Do not worry. The other, not just things, but others. In addition to possessions, relationships with other people can become a hindrance to your walk with God. Well, that has help. I don't have anything up about that one. Are there some relationships that you need to change? Are there relationships that hinder you from your walk with God? Think about that. Think about the healthy relationships. Who in your life has been a help in your walk with God? Can you think of somebody that's been a help to you in your walk with the Lord? I have a person that I have, really helped me as I walk with the Lord. We've gotten together in the past, haven't recently, but it's like iron sharpening iron. Spending time together, laying out before men as men, and talking about things, helping those hindrances to have the victory, to get rid of those hindrances that are causing us to not have a relationship as we should with the Lord. Luke 14:26 says, if anyone comes to me but loves his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, or even his life more than me, he cannot be my follower. Whoever is not willing to carry his cross and follow me cannot be my follower. I think sometimes I look at that and I say, what? But it really has to be God is the one before everything else. God, is he the one that you have the focus on ahead of these? Stubbornness can be channeled into righteous force called persistence and endurance. I found it to be one of the most important spiritual attributes of the Christian life. And that's Dutch Sheet, pastor, wrote that. The other thing is yourself. How many times have you heard that? You yourself can be their worst enemy. Mm-hmm. What are the things that cause you to be your worst enemy? Any response? Choose to do things that are not in your best interest, okay? Criticism. What? Criticism. Okay. Criticism. Okay. What else? It says here, as if things and others weren't enough to keep you too preoccupied to lay your whole life before the Lord, you also can be your own worst enemy. It can happen by letting your weaknesses become excuses for not growing instead of reasons for coming to God for help. Probably we can identify those in each of our lives. David says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. He was asking God to do what? To take an inventory. To take an inventory. Some stores closed at the beginning of the year to take an inventory of what they have on hand. When do we take inventory in our spiritual lives? You can take it at any time, but one of the times that I think of taking inventory is before Love Feast. Preparing my heart. Preparing to come to the Love Feast table. Preparing to come in a way that is appropriate. He was asking God to take inventory of his soul, to get rid of anything offensive. Pride, anger, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. You know, it's very interesting that many times people that don't forgive others at times they're more eaten up inside because they don't forgive somebody else. And maybe you can identify with that and know that situation, how that works. Unforgiveness and many other things. Personal revelation is the key to seeing the areas that need to be worked on. Sometimes that involves confession. What does 1 John 1:9 tell us? If we confess, let's say it together, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. 1 John 1:9. The thing about the God we serve is that we may come to Him and ask forgiveness for something. And if we come the next day, He doesn't mind if we come again. He doesn't mind if we come again. And when we think about there's nothing that He doesn't know, then He knows it already. There's nothing hidden from Him. He is aware of it all. Question for you. Are your hopes and dreams in line with His will? Are your hopes and dreams in line with His will? Is your time being spent as it should? Ooh. How do you spend your time? How do I spend my time? What do you find about that? Second Corinthians 12:9 says, "And He said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in My infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon you." Or Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." How is it that you can say that this morning? It's because of Jesus Christ. It's not my righteousness, but it's His righteousness. Proverbs 16 says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." Moving on to the next part, why should we commit everything to God? Why should we do it? Why? It's only complete commitment to the Father releases the bondage of the enemy of our soul. Commitment keeps you growing in God. Committed lives are growing lives because what do? They invite the presence of God to work in and through them to strengthen and mature and establish His plan and purpose. To work in and through. What is God working on in your life right now? What is God working on in my life? It's an answer that only you and I can answer. As we look at commitment, we look that it is a continual process. It's not some place that we have arrived at. It's a process. It keeps going. And that's why walking in the Spirit is such an essential part of what we do. Because it's a two-way need. There's a need to walk in the Spirit, to identify those areas to be committed. And it's easier, as you're committed to those areas, it's easier to walk in the Spirit. Think about that. What does God want us to do? He wants us to step out and fully trust Him. That's what He wants. Each time you do it, it gets easier. It gets easier. How about those times when you've done something, you've got victory in an area, you were able to step out and have the victory in that area? What does that feel like? What does it feel like when you get a victory over something? It's good. It's good. And the devil has been slapped. He's been sent back. And you have the victory. Because if you don't, there's that area where you got to be careful of. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." I like this one. The more you learn to commit everything to God, the more it becomes a lifestyle and not just an event. I think in this group here this morning, we know that we don't just come on a Sunday morning for nourishment, for praise to God and everything. We know it's a 7-day-a-week event. Event, a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle, not an event, not just one happening. I know some people who will say, yep, they go to church Sunday, this. But you know what? It is a lifestyle. It is that which we do on a daily basis. How do you see it? When you think of commitment, commitment gives you rest. Commitment gives you rest. Are there areas where you are restless? Are there areas that you're restless in your life? Is the Lord trying to get your attention? And then, are you willing to commit? Are you willing to commit those areas to the Father? In Exodus 33:14, it says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Or Joshua 1:13 says, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land." And then from the New Testament it says, "Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Rest for your souls. Commitment is a testimony to others of God's faithfulness. What is your testimony like to others? What do they see in you? Do you have people talking to you about how are you able to make it through this situation? What is it that guides you? What is that helps you to work through the situation that, boy, I don't know if I could have handled that. That situation is way out. I mean, it's God living in your life, shining through. Not with a boastful way, but it's let your light so shine before men that they may what? See your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what it's about. Glorifying your Father in heaven. How is it that you commit everything to God? It's transferring of ownership. It's transferring of ownership to grow in experience and to become a positive influence to those around you. Commitment is a personal choice. Over here we have a commitment. We have trust. Learning to trust. Learning to lean on God. And acknowledging God, not leaning on Glenn's own understanding, but realizing that it's God that I need to lean on. I need to lean on Him. Acknowledging God means receiving His influence over our thoughts, feelings, and decisions and actions. When were you young, what did your parents tell you? Parents told you to brush your teeth. Brush your teeth, get dressed, wash your hands. When you get older, is there a problem with that? Because you just do it. It's part of what you do, right? So what do we know? What would be different with our Heavenly Father? When as a young Christian, you ask Him about everything, you probably receive very specific answers. You know about growing in your relationship. A good, loving Father will not always give a direct answer to every question. He might say, "What do you think is the best solution? What is the best way for this to take place?" Because He's watching His children mature and develop. You're allowing your children to make decisions. You're allowing your children to find out how they should live. How did your earthly father interact with you? How has that shaped your ability to commit everything to your Heavenly Father? There's distractions, there's obstacles. Worry can be a distraction. It can drive you off course and not knowing where you're needing to go. There can be assaults taking place in your life. Distractions, obstructions are often the results of living in a broken world. Beyond them, the devil comes to attack our faith in God and tries to uproot His word that is planted in us and give us a reason to not believe in God's character. Though the devil's power has been broken as far as his direct rights over people are concerned, he still roams the earth, looking to bring as much destruction as he can through deception. But in Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, you have the armor of God. I can remember the time that we were at a revival meeting and the evangelist had a young boy come up and they dressed him in the armor of God, putting all the pieces of armor. My friends, we have that armor. Let us use it. Let us use it in our lives to stand against the devil and affirm God's word to see the door of life shut to his attacks. Proverbs 4:11 through 15 says, "I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. Pass on." Stay away from the appearances of evil. Stay away from those things that will hinder you. What are the things that might be hindering you? Make this your prayer for assaults. "Help me to hold on to instruction and not let go, to guard it, for it is my life. Help me to set my foot on the path, not on the path of the wicked, nor walk in the way of evil. Help me to avoid it, to travel on it, and to turn from it, and to conquer the enemy." Committing everything to God is a process. It's through revelation and repentance and relief. Think about all those areas that we're talking about that. What can we do? The ongoing process of commitment with thanksgiving. Part of learning to enjoy the process of commitment is a practice of thankfulness. Practice of thankfulness. Think about it. "I will praise the name of the Lord with song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving." Think about it, all God has done in demonstrating His love for bringing us a cup of water. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Justin. I was thinking walking over there, but thank you. What are the things that you're thankful for? What are the things you're thankful for? Ready to take a piece of paper out and start writing those things down? After you write that list down, then take time to thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord for those things. Give praise and thanksgiving. Or you can think of the Psalm 1, where it talks about thanking the Lord. Yes, Father, I know what you want is best for me. In Revelation, thank you for revealing areas in my life that are not fully committed to you. And in repentance, forgive me for not trusting you in these areas. I do not want anything to come before you and to be between us. I'm turning away from what I understand is wrong. I entrust all I have, my relationships, my desires, ambitions, my choices, my plans, before you now and commit them into your hands. I release these, and it gives the areas that you want to release to him. And just winding up with how we, as committed to God, as being people who are committed to God, how that we can give a word of encouragement to others. There may be times when it feels like you can't trust God with something. Just like the Israelites, you may want to turn your back and have on what you have committed to him. This is not something to feel defeated by. Rather, it's a point of growth. You can always come back to the place of committing it to him. And that's okay. That's okay. He accepts that, coming back again and again. Committing everything to the Lord is that process. So enjoy the journey. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Put your name in there. Glenn, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. What is Glenn called to do? What can Glenn cast? Why can Glenn cast all his cares upon the Lord? I think that when we look at this process of commitment, it's an area that is a growing process, it's a continuing process, it's a lifestyle. And praise be to God that we can learn and to grow thereby for his honor and glory. Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, thank you, Father, for showing us the way. Now, Lord, work in our hearts and our minds as we leave here today and as we go throughout this following week, continuing to help us to ruminate on these thoughts and things that you have for us as we're continuing on these cleansing stream. Thank you, Lord, that you do cleanse us and renew us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we're going to have a closing song, The Cleansing Wave. We're going to sing a stand. You can sing along with it.